Heading down from Newport to Fort Adams State Park, you'll see exclusive mansions and country clubs. And tucked among rolling hills, a mysterious sign with gold initials that read SVF.
So we're walking around the historic Swiss village, which is where SVF gets its name.
What the name doesn't tell you is this is a place where scientists collect sperm and embryos from livestock in danger of going extinct. Sarah Boley, program director for the Swiss Village Foundation, waves her hand toward a collection of quaint gray stone buildings that house the foundation's laboratories and administrative offices.
It was a private farm that was developed in the early 1900s by Arthur Curtis James, and it was a working farm up until the 1940s.
The former residence of a wealthy Newporter, this estate was originally built to look like a Swiss-Italian farming village.
They had Guernsey cattle, pigs, sheep, goats, and it was a gentleman's folly. So it was a very functional, productive farm, but it wasn't necessarily here to make money. It was more to provide for the Curtis family and his workers on the farm and on his two yachts.
The estate still has cattle, sheep, and goats today, but they're probably not the same kind that Arthur Curtis James kept. The property now houses a collection of rare and endangered North American livestock and their genetic material. Inside one of the barns, Boley stops to point out a large white sheep with a brood of fuzzy copper lambs. Like all of the animals here, this breed has a story.
So they're actually from northern Africa. They were brought in illegally by Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They were imported against regulation into the United States in the 1700s. And they're a fat-tailed breed. So where camels store fat on their humps that everybody's familiar with, these guys store fat at the base of their tails. So in times of drought, it can be a source of metabolic water.
Special genetic traits, like sheep with tails that help out in a drought, are exactly what SVF is looking to preserve. A trait like that could become useful, for example, if global warming causes major climate shifts. But there's something else unusual about these sheep. The mother looks nothing like her lambs. In fact, she's a completely different breed, a surrogate mom, impregnated through a process just like in vitro fertilization for humans. SVF uses host mothers to replicate the situation that might exist if a breed actually went extinct. They want to make sure the genetic samples they're collecting would work to reawaken a breed. Just outside the barn, Boley stops to watch a cow grooming her calf, another surrogate pair.
So they might look a little bit different, but they don't recognize that. It was born from her, and it's her baby, smells just like her, and she raises it as her own.
Wow.
This tiny calf is a Canadienne, a critically endangered type of cow. There may be only 1,000 left in the world. Boley estimates that livestock breeds are dying out at a rate of 1 per month, in large part because of industrial agriculture, which favors a small number of breeds suited to mass production. The idea of banking their genetic material for the future came from Tufts University, and it caught the fancy of a wealthy heiress named Dorrance Hamilton. She bought Swiss Village in the late 90s and started the foundation. It's not exactly clear how an heiress to part of the Campbell soup fortune got interested in farm animals, but one theory is that it all started with an airplane magazine.
There's a couple of funny stories behind that. One is that she read in an in-flight magazine that we were losing the fuzzy brown cow, and she didn't want to see that happen. And when she started looking more deeply into the issue, she realized that while there are a lot of seed banks that have been established around the world to preserve different kinds of plants, the same thing hadn't been done yet with animals.
Inside the cool stone walls of one of the Swiss Village buildings, a former horse barn now serves as a cryogenic laboratory, storing thousands of genetic samples from more than 20 types of livestock.
This is now our main repository where we store all of the samples that we've collected. So those four tanks over there contain the 63,000 plus samples that we've collected in the last 10 years.
Lab director Dorothy Roof climbs up on a small stool to reach the top of one of the stainless steel tanks and open it up. As she reaches inside, smoke from the cold liquid nitrogen bubbles up around her hands.
The samples are stored in little hollow tubes that look like drinking straws.
Oh, wow.
So we put one embryo in a tube that looks like that. And we put 100 million sperm cells in a tube that looks like this one.
The tubes are placed in dozens of bright orange vessels suspended inside the tanks, and the foundation keeps at least a 4 to 6 week supply of liquid nitrogen on hand in case of an emergency like a hurricane. Most of the genetic material is collected on site, usually from animals on loan from heritage breeders.
They're either collected surgically or just cows are collected by standing in a stall up at the barn, in a headlock up at the barn. And a solution is used to flush the uterus of the animal, and the embryos come out in that wash solution. So they come down here, and I search for the embryos in a gridded search dish under the microscope, and then I stage and grade them. I put a number on them that represents how developmentally advanced they are and what quality they are, and then we package them in those little straws and freeze them.
And so for each breed, how many genetic samples are there?
We set our target numbers so that we could completely regenerate the breed within one generation. So our target numbers are 200 to 300 embryos per breed and 2,000 to 3,000 straws of semen per breed.
Hundreds of embryos and thousands of straws of semen sound like a lot, but in 10 years, SVF has already gotten about halfway to their goal of preserving some 30 to 40 species. Officials here say they've become a model for species preservation around the globe, but their hope is that farmers will increasingly embrace these heritage breeds, making their bank of frozen genetic material merely a fail-safe. Elizabeth Harrison, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.